the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas. KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
And here is tonight's show. Chad Hicks here at the Press Box alongside of Adam Olson.
Yo.
Under the exquisite production of Mr. Yo-Yo Dave Van Zandt.
You build me up too high.
Every week, man. Couldn't do it without you. Or we couldn't do it without you. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to know which buttons to push in there. And I can promise you it's neither Adam or I.
That's
man.
Why they have big arrows and signs on them over here. So.
We have buttons at home. But
we have
so much
two
here.
Buttons and two dials. And occasionally these two other dials and two slides. That's all we know how to operate around here.
Well, that's more than me.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. But anyway. Gentlemen, how was your weekend? Man, it's a great Easter weekend. Had a little bit of rainy weather to start out, but boy, it finished it up pretty strong, didn't it?
It really did, and I actually did something I hadn't done in a while. I tested,
you went Easter egg hunting?
No, I tested the integrity of the church building.
Really?
Like the literal or figurative?
Like when I walked in, the strain on the walls and the roof was tested, and it successfully passed the test because all that evil walking in.
Yeah, and lightning didn't strike or anything.
Well, not on the building, actually, no.
So you go to a church full of integrity?
I do.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, I'm telling you what, they know what they're doing. They put it down in the right way, and tell you what. It's if I don't walk out of there feeling like my toes have been stepped on, it hadn't been a good Sunday.
Boy,
I got you. Well, hopefully it's good enough to get you back there next Sunday. How about
Well, I'll
that?
Be there next Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
So. Okay, good deal. So I'll just confess, because normally on Sunday, if you need me, you can find me down the street at the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not go to church yesterday. We were in the in-laws' domain, and... Mm. I feel kind of bad about that in Fairfield, Texas.
Fairfield.
About 88 miles door to door to the south, east, I guess you could say. But I feel a little bit bad about that. But we did have a good family celebration nonetheless, and it was good times.
Did you partake in any Easter egg hunting?
We did not, because the kids, the youngest kid in our clan at this juncture is a junior in high school.
Okay.
We go to a senior in high school, then a freshman in college, and a sophomore in college who brought her her beau, let's call him. Mm. And I think he's a junior, so we kind of leapfrog that.
Yeah.
The demographic, you know what I mean?
10 years from now, it's going to be rolling deep.
Yeah. That doesn't stop any of my kids, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't think they didn't all get Easter baskets full of stuff they didn't need. I can promise you that.
Well, so we now, in the span of this Easter season, the Olsen clan has now completed three Easter egg hunts, that's a lot.
That is, because by the time your kid's 10, it's going to have like 30 years experience
Goodness
of Easter
gracious.
Egg hunting.
What's up, Doc?
See, okay. There you go.
So we got to go to my in-laws and then my own parents' house and then some other extended family members of my wife. And so we were candy galore. There's times when there's money to be had, and there was yet another adult Easter egg hunt at my parents' house, and came across some money, so that was good.
That is always good. If I'd have known that, I'd have went to your parents' house.
Yeah,
we don't quite have that, but my mom listens to this show. Yeah. My mom moved out of town, so we no longer have that outlet. Not that we ever had it to begin with, but nevertheless, yeah, it's all good. Mm-hmm. So, good deal. I did get to go fishing. If that's kind of like Easter egg hunting, you're hunting for fish.
That is Easter egg hunting.
Yeah, and I caught a bunch of them, so there, take that.
Well, I also want to confess that as I rose up on Sunday morning, I did attend via the way of the airwaves the first church of the Masters Golf Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find out quickly that Tiger Woods had pulled out because he was injured.
He was limping, yep.
And then I saw that Koepka was up by 4 strokes.
Yep.
When it all turned out and started up. And then he exploded and then
went the other direction.
John Rahm was the eventual champion, so congratulations to John Rahm.
Exactly.
That was the only major he hadn't won, I think.
I believe
that. And he won it on, and I can't tell you how many times I heard this, Seve Ballesteros' birthday,
right,
which was John Rahm's mentor and idol.
Right,
so,
and I think 40 years to the day when Seve won it or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was a momentous Spanish day.
There you go.
I know that we had some weather issues and some trees toppling.
Mm-hmm. We did have that.
And I also know that, I guess I have to ask you guys this question. All right, so here's the issue that I run into when I am presented with the opportunity to play golf. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really have. Golf is a big time skilled sport.
Oh,
okay.
Man. That's why I can't play.
Big time skilled, right? So obviously, if you have athleticism or whatever you would categorize as athleticism, you're probably going to be good at golf, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee you'll be good at golf. However, mm-hmm, if you're lacking in the athleticism department, but you have time and a desire, you can increase your skill level and skill set and become a pretty savvy golfer. And I think that's why a lot of people like it. So yeah, Here's my issue.
I've always that combined with the longevity of which you could play.
Right. There you go. So my issue is simply, it's really hard for me to exhibit enough patience to play a game of golf because I don't do it in my free time. So therefore, and I'm not willing to invest my free time in improving at golf because I don't care enough about it. So if we could do stuff like knockout, here's what I mean. Everybody lines up their balls at the exact same time. All 4 people, they all drive, and then it's a race to see who can get their ball to come first. I would be more down to play that type of golf, man. It's just too slow.
They do have that type of golf.
Oh, what is it called?
It's called speed golf, isn't
no
it?
But
yeah.
I'd be down with that.
I've watched speed golf before, and it's a whew, man.
And then keep the tee box the same, so everybody has to be within the tee box. So
right,
there's a chance you might get hit.
Oh yeah,
right. Especially if you got lefties and righties mixed up in there together.
I kind of always thought the similar thing with regard to bull riding and rodeo. They should turn out all 10 of them at the same time.
Yeah,
and then whichever one is riding at the last, you know, the one that stays on the longest wins.
Well, let's make an addition to that too. Turn out all 10 bulls at the same time,
okay,
with the riders, but have the poker table in the middle.
That helps. Yeah, that's I'm good with that.
There, so.
And then because when you get off your bull, it may not care anything about hooking you, but the one coming up behind you might very likely get you.
You're going to need to up the costs for the medics, the first responders.
Yeah, the insurance is going through the roof on that deal.
Before we go too far afield from the golf, would it be okay with you guys if you gave me the honor of introducing our in-studio guest?
You absolutely can take
right,
it.
Because
this is a tremendous honor.
Because we have the Hall of Famer, the Hall of Fame left-hander, who sits to the right of Ken Roberts as the broadcaster of the baseball games and a golfer in his own right.
And football games.
Except he stands from the other side of the ball, none other than Mike Turner.
Hello.
Good evening to all.
Howdy, howdy, Coach.
My man.
Well, it's good to be here tonight, and thanks for the invitation. A special evening for me.
Always a treat. And it's my understanding that we're going to talk a little bit. You know, you're known as the old left-hander.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to talk a little bit about when you were the young left-hander, maybe.
Younger, let's put
younger
it that way.
Okay. Less seasoned.
Yes, sir. For sure.
Well I brought him on because I wanted to hear his evaluation of the golf talk that we just had.
I got you.
Yeah. Outstanding evaluation. Now, I don't know that we could go the speed golf. And
you're out on that, are you?
Just because I'm left-handed, I do play golf right-handed.
No, do you really?
I do.
Okay. Hey, Coach, so I'm a fellow lefty, and I play golf right-handed as well. Not well.
All right.
Well, back in my day, they did not make very good left-handed clubs.
Fair.
Mm. So at least didn't have a big selection for sure.
That's
right?
It. And they said that if you were left-handed and played golf right-handed, that left arm was very instrumental in the golf shot. But I'm going to tell you, it's not.
So here's something a little bit weird. I am right-handed, but as a kid, I batted left-handed. But I played golf right-handed as well for just what you're talking about. I mean, we didn't have left-handed golf clubs in seventh grade or whatever I was when I started.
Right.
And then what that did, not that my left-handed batting was any good, but boy, it went away quick when I started swinging a golf club right-handed. So,
well, there was another controversy in the Masters too, is that they allowed Phil Mickelson to play. You know, Phil Mickelson, who had gone over to the LIV tour. And he was persona non grata in the PGA. But the Master says, come on, Phil, you've been a Master champion. Come on, play.
Well, when you have won it, you're lifetime exemption, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, there was a big – the PGA tournament was all up in arms about it. So
I didn't realize that.
Why?
Well, because he went to the LIV tour, and he only went for money. You know, that was it. So.
Well, Koepka was also and is a member of the LIV.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Well, then this is interesting, too, because one said Phil Mickelson finished second and only drug about $1.5 million out of their pocket yesterday as well.
Well, Koepka, you know, he drug over $1 million, too, didn't he?
It was pretty close.
It was close to $1 million.
Well, he and Phil tied for second.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
So did they end up tying?
Yes,
yeah.
Both 8-under.
Okay. There you go. Four back of the leader. Yeah. All right.
That's a lot of money coming out of that place.
Ooh, yeah, that is right. You know what? Now that you say that is right, because Phil sank that putt and was really excited about it.
Right.
Yeah. Of course, the early storyline, and as y'all know, I'm an Aggie, so I got to throw this out there.
Oh, yeah. Bennett.
Yeah. Sam Bennett.
Yes.
Was the amateur that he came out on top as the low-scoring amateur. But, man, he was in that thing for the first couple of days.
That's right.
And, around my family who doesn't watch much golf, and to be perfectly honest, I don't watch a whole lot of golf anymore either. But, I said, well, it'd be interesting to see now that he's made the cut what happens on, Saturday, Sunday, because those whole positions and placements get really, really tough.
They do.
And unfortunately, he did come unraveled a little bit, but stayed in there to finish like tied for 18th or something like that. He won about $250,000, or he would have had he accepted the check. And frankly, I was a little shocked that he didn't and just turned pro and move on, because he's probably at the height of the publicity level, now for a rookie at this juncture with such a good showing at the Masters.
Well, he had a big tournament today that he had to get to. So,
oh, did he? All right.
Yeah.
This is news to me. I didn't realize that.
The big A&M fundraiser tournament took place, and he was going to play 36 holes and have to carry his own bag.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because he played, 30 holes yesterday or something, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I know they had a big reception for him last night at the Easterwood Airport there in College Station, just west of the campus. Oh. And so that would have been fun to go to see him. And, Madisonville, Texas's own Sam Bennett.
Well, how many times did you hear that, too?
Yeah.
It's like they were talking about Madisonville, and it's, just north of Houston or something like that?
Well, it's about 40 miles east of College Station. It's not far.
Right. It's not far.
Yeah, it's not far.
Yeah. How far is it from center?
Oh, not far either.
Well, Centerville. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think where center is. So, that's further east, isn't it?
Yeah, can we talk about that real quick? Center, Texas is on the Louisiana-Texas border. It's far, far east Texas. And then the city of West Texas, is located close to Central Texas.
Right.
So that just shows, the geographical relevance of when those cities were established relative to the state borders.
There you go.
Right.
Boom, knowledge. Let's go.
All right. So, hey, I feel smarter now. So.
Right. Now we know more in Sam That's Houston.
Recruiting stories, baby.
That's it. Stephen F. Austin. We can throw out a bunch here.
Oh, man, you guys are too smart for me. I'm going to have to turn off my microphone and sit and ponder.
Well, let's go ahead and tease the audience a little bit, if we can. So, as we mentioned, Mike Turner, the old left-hander, is in studio with us. And here in a moment, we'll have one of his players from the team of 1973 on the hotline here at the World Broadcast Headquarters of KBC Radio to talk a little bit about every year they have a – well, help me out, Coach. What is it? It's Saturday. I know that. But they bring back a team from every year to have a bit of a reunion and a celebration of those players. Is this correct?
Well, it's Alumni Day, and sometimes there is a team that is honored, sometimes players, someone that has been important to the baseball program itself. But this year it happens to be a team that will be celebrating – 50 years this year, the 1973 Indian baseball team. And one of, as you said, the guests, Steve Harriman, a senior on that team, an outstanding leader of that team, will join us in a moment.
That's awesome. And I'm sure you can attest to this, but 1973 seems like it was about 3 weeks ago, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't seem that long ago. Sure, it doesn't.
Yeah,
no.
50 years. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Let's go to break, Yo-Yo. Let's sell some stuff and get Mr. Harriman on the phone, and we'll have some fun when we come back right here on the press box.
All right. 73 was my first year at Burleson High School. I was a freshman that year, so how about that? Let's talk about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning in Waxahachie. They provide some superior HVAC expertise that you demand. For the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs, call today at Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. 972-834-2568, 972-834-2568, or learn more about all of their HVAC contractor services. That's Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll be right back with more right here on your station for Classic Texas Music.
She's a native of Waxahachie. She's a graduate of the class of 1979, and she's very knowledgeable in her field. We're talking about Terry Griffith, broker and owner at Hometown Realty. She's got the knowledge it takes to get you a home or get your home sold, or maybe your property too. With 26 years of experience in Ellis County and the surrounding area, Terry Griffith, broker and owner of Hometown Realty. Call her today at 972-333-0364. That's 972-333-0364. Let her put her knowledge to work for you.
I've got a unique vacation idea for you that's right here in the United States. If you're ready for a vacation that's fun and downright affordable, listen up. It's driving distance for many of you, so no planes, no airline delays, no hassles. It's Branson, Missouri, the entertainment capital of the Midwest. Live music for everyone. Branson has three beautiful, enormous lakes, water attractions, live shows, great food, and tons of entertainment. It's a perfect vacation for you and your family, or if you're retired and you want to have a great time. And you can stay in Branson for as low as $99 a night. Please understand, this is not a timeshare offer. It's a real vacation for as little as $99 a night. We've got a free vacation guide we want to send you right now. All you have to do is call for complete details. Get your free Branson, Missouri guide right now by calling this number.
800-268-8279. 800-268-8279. 800-268-8279. That's 800-268-8279.
When you drive drowsy, you may see things that aren't there.
A pink armadillo in the road. How pretty. And there's my Aunt Angie riding a sparkly unicorn.
However, you may not see things that are there until it's too late.
Oh, an oncoming car?
So always get plenty of rest before long trips. Take breaks, share the wheel, and avoid driving in the middle of the night.
Oh, a friendly nurse.
Be safe. Drive smart. Brought to you by TxDOT.
Do you love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-344-2066. 800-344-2066. 800-344-2066. That's 800-344-2066. Paid for by NPS.
Classic Texas, KPEC.
And now back to the press box on KPEC.
And as always, we are back, and we are excited because we have one of our favorite guests in studio, which is Coach Mike, or the former, I call him Coach, but Mike Turner, the left-hander, one of the voices of Waxahachie football, but on our hotline.
And baseball.
And baseball, sorry. Football, baseball. He'll call anything if you just ask him. That's all you got to do.
The chickens.
Yeah, exactly. Call marbles, whatever. But on the hotline here, we have Mr. Steve Harriman. Steve, are you with us?
I am. I am with you.
Good. Good evening. How are you today?
I'm doing real fine.
Perfect. So you are an alumnus of Waxahachie High School.
Yes,
stop me when I get something wrong, I guess, is what I'm asking of you. But class of 1973, I believe, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Which would be 50 years ago. Not to point out anything negative, I'm just saying it was a minute ago or so, right?
The truth hurts. Yes,
the truth hurts. Yep. Nothing. Hey, we all got to live with it. So anyhow, all right. And then this weekend is Alumni Day on Saturday at Paul Richards Park, and your team is going to be honored. And it's my understanding you are the team captain. Is that somewhat correct?
That is that's correct. I shared those duties with Randy Owens and Rick McClendon.
Okay.
There were three of us.
And I'm hearing that y'all were pretty salty back in the day.
Well, we knew a little bit about baseball. You know, we grew up under the lights of Thomas Robinette Field and Henry Curry Ballpark. And that was a great way to learn the game of baseball. You know, you hear the phrase all the times. It was a simpler time, but we grew up in a time when gas was 19 cents a gallon, and you rode your bicycle clear across town and ride back at home for supper when your mom told you to.
Right.
And Waxahachie had a population of 12,000 folks, so yeah. You can see a lot of things that happened.
And the new car you put that gas in was about $1,400, too, wasn't it? Isn't that kind of amazing? Something like that.
Well, we never bought a new car. We were all hand-me-downs.
Right. It is kind of funny how times change for sure. So I've got a lot of questions for you, but my leadoff question is just eating away at me. I got to get it out. I got to ask it. Okay. So we have come to know the great Mike Turner. Yeah, like I said in his introduction earlier, as the old left-hander, he's one of the voices with Ken Roberts of Waxahachie Sports and all of that. It's always good to pick out great days, but let us hear about your worst day with Coach Mike Turner. What day did y'all really get his goat and have him just hot under the collar?
Well, I wasn't prepared for that question, but I'm going to try to answer it. We had faced Bishop Dunn High School. They were the state champions in baseball back in 71, and I pitched against them up in Dallas and lost the game, I think 3-0, something like that. So they came back down and played us a few games later. And again, I was pitching and I was doing pretty well. They had some magnificent players on their team for private school, but I let someone squeeze bun on me. And I did not do well doing that. And then after a while, they relieved me, and the next pitcher came in, I think it was Dennis McAdams, and they did the same thing to him. So Coach Turner kept us after the game, and all we practiced doing was throwing at his head as he held the bat at home plate to make sure that that would never happen again. And you know what? It never did happen again. There was never a squeeze play. I think I was a sophomore. Dennis was a sophomore, and we learned a lesson that day when we were throwing at his head. Well, it wasn't all friendly, I don't think. I think there was a lot of anxiety in us trying to do what he told us to do.
Coach Turner, do you remember that day?
You know, coaches always have a different perspective than players. Let me just put
it
that way.
It. Let's
go. So we can say that that was the case, but it was something that we had worked on a lot prior to that day. And to go back to school, so to speak, we did that after the game. But the one thing that I know is that those young men went back and did it with a positive attitude and a work ethic that was a plus. And that's what made it enjoyable as a coach. And I know Steve and Dennis that day didn't necessarily see it that way, but their junior and senior years, it marked a sign of difference because they were the ones doing the coaching and teaching at that point to the younger players.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That is. Teach the teacher, right?
Hey, Steve, Adam Olson here. Thanks for being on, man.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted both you and Coach off-air talk to me about that beast up north of South Grand Prairie. Can you start from freshman year and then just work your way forward towards what you guys did as a program in building for and making it to the regional finals, and then the significance of that 1973 team and just how difficult it was back then to make it as far as you guys did?
Well, I think I can touch on, it was in our blood. Of course, one common denominator through all this has been the fact that Richard Sparks has been there all the time, and it's a special place. All the other teams that always came to play always played their best because they loved playing at that old ballpark because it represented what baseball was all about. But one of my first memories I recall, I think I was in the seventh grade, and Randy Owens, one of my teammates, who was a phenomenal pitcher our senior year, he wrote on a piece of paper, State 73. Now, I didn't know what that really meant, but Randy knew what it meant because he had an older brother, Bruce, who had been to the state tournament under Coach Borgers, I think in 67. So that kind of stuck with me all the way through. And Coach Turner had come to Waxahachie in, I think it was 68, 69, after his careers at Nevada and Southwestern, where he was a great pitcher, but also a tremendous hitter. And Waxahachie had a couple of lean years after Coach Borgers had departed. And Coach Turner was hired to restore the tradition. He can tell you that story about how he got hired, maybe. But in his first year in spring 69, he began to develop a culture, once again, that was representative of Waxahachie being the ultimate baseball town. In his first year, he would win the North Zone title, which was kind of representative of being a district title back then, because there was a North Zone and a South Zone, and he had pitchers such as David Jacobs and infielders such as Phil Turner and Pat McElroy, Tommy Daly, Joe Wakeland, and an outfield with the great T.J. Hutchison, who I was a great admirer of and loved being around, and Billy Tapp. Well, the 69 team, in a sense, won the North Zone, which was essentially the district championship. And that was the start of turning things around and developing the culture that we had once had. I think Coach Borger was a different coach than Coach Turner. Of course, Coach Turner had played for him, but Coach Turner developed his own techniques through having good coaches at Navarra and Southwestern, and it was a little different touch, but it proved to be just as successful through our high school years.
I know the kids today. Well, I don't know if I could speak with regard to – I want to speak with regard to pressure, and I don't know if that's right. I mean, I didn't play baseball at all, much less play baseball here. But, I mean, not in the school ranks or whatever, in Little League and all that I did. But I mean, did y'all feel that pressure as high school age kids back then? Or it sounds like it was established enough, or the tradition and the – you know, all the, I don't know, the hoopla, I don't know what else to call it, but like it is now, I mean, but did you feel it 50 years ago that way?
Well, you have to remember, we called it a simpler time, and I mean, stores were closed on Sunday, and we had four total channels to watch on TV.
Right.
So baseball and athletics was a major, major part of our whole being. And as a result, we came to Richards Park with kind of a chip on our shoulder that we had to keep up with the folks in the past. Unfortunately, my freshman year, our class, my sophomore year and junior year, we finished second in district play. And if you remember, only one team went back then.
Right.
So you were in or out. You had to be number one. The interesting thing, by the time we got to be seniors, we had a real gift because we had a fine nucleus in our senior class, but we also had a very accomplished group in our junior class. And that was, I think, the key to our success. We decided in our team meeting at the first of the year, but the only way we could leave no question about who was the best was win every district game. So we did. We won every district game. And it was the first year of Mag Bats. We had been Wood Bats up to that point. Mm-hmm. So we kind of had to develop a different persona because all of us became a little different kind of hitter with those Mag Bats. And it proved very beneficial to us, and we enjoyed every bit of our senior years, as it turns out.
That creek got a little closer, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And we had some really good pitchers. We had we played a lot of our games at night, of course, especially at Richards Park, and we enjoyed that. I can remember one game. I don't know if Coach Turner remembers this or not, but we had to go to Wilmer Hutchins to play, and they were kind of on the lower tier of the district. And we got there, and it was like a junior high field at the junior high or something where we were playing.
An elementary campus.
Nothing like at Richards Park. And when we got there, their coach was putting the rubber down. And he put it about, we knew it was close, but it had to be 15 to 18 inches closer to home plate. And Dennis McAdams was pitching that game. Our real levy of pitchers was Owens, Bob Jackson, and Dennis McAdams. So Dennis pitched that game. We really weren't into it like we should have been because it just wasn't baseball to us. So Dennis threw a no-hitter. And I think we got two hits, and we won 1-0, and we were just happy to get out of there, you know. So it was a game that we had a lot of questions about, but it was, again, a W in a district that we went 12-0.
Undefeated, right.
Well, so can I add something to that? The pitcher's mound, if you took a chair and you put clay underneath the chair – and that's the only clay that you had, and that pitching rubber went in the center of that. That's exactly what Dennis had to pitch off of that day. And that step off with the stride foot was painful almost to watch. I went out and visited with Dennis after two or three pitches and said, hey, you going to be okay? He said, yes. The second part of that park, it was the normal distance from home to first, but from first to second, it was angled out towards center field.
I forgot
and
about
it
that.
Was quite short from first to second. Wilmer Hutchins had a lot of speed, and they wanted to take advantage of that. And from second to third, it angled out past the dugout down the left field line. So you had a long run to go from second to third. And then certainly with that angle being so different, the distance from third to home was probably 110 or 20 feet from third to home base. So you had to map out all of that on that day. But it was an elementary campus that we played on. Each year we went to Wilmer Hutchins, you had to guess where they were going to play because we drove to two different fields before we got to the one that was actually there. Dismissal time on that campus occurred about game time, and there were probably 500 to 700 elementary students that came by through the ballpark yelling, screaming, and go get them. But Steve is right on everything. It was a different place to play and a difficult place to play, and the home field advantage was certainly that for the Eagles of Wilmer Hutchins that day.
Yeah. That's hilarious that they just randomly, let's just stick a base
there. I think I scored the only run, and I can't tell you how I got to third base.
Well, by bus.
Well, it was an airfare from third to home.
Yeah, no doubt. No, we were really blessed with great pitching on that team. We had good chemistry. Rick McLennan was our catcher. He's probably the finest defensive catcher I ever played with or even played around going through junior college ball and such. He was phenomenal. And the thing about Rick was he did not have a gun for necessarily for an arm, but I mean he put it on the bag every time. I mean he was accurate as anyone I've ever seen. And if y'all have ever saw Coach Turner in pregame in hitting infield, he can hit a ball straight up for the catchers with a backspin on it. And it goes straight up in there. It's just phenomenal how he can do that to me. And so I never saw Rick or Billy Moseley ever drop a ball. They were so well coached on that backward spin as if it was a pop-up at home plate. They were just phenomenal. We were blessed with Randy Owens was our ace. He was like 10-0 going into that last series with South Grand Prairie. Bob Jackson was 8-0 before we went into that last series. And Dennis McAdams was 3-1, I think, because he had pitched the first game against South Grand Prairie, which we lost 4-2. So we'd only lost one game as we went through the playoffs. And Owens was phenomenal. He had 135 strikeouts in 76 innings. That's 1.77 strikeouts per inning.
Yeah,
and it was he was phenomenal. McClendon was great. Lefty Robinson batted fourth. Owens batted third. Johnny Bryant had the best average on the team, and he batted sixth behind me. I was fifth. And we were always blessed with real good leadoff hitters in Waxahachie. You know, you had the Phil Turner that I was fortunate enough to be around and play with. You had Johnny Fitch after him. And then you had Ricky Dan Moore. And Ricky Dan Moore was our leadoff there my senior year in 73. And he was a great, great leadoff. But I enjoyed being watching those guys get on base somehow, it seemed like. And so we had lost the one game to South Grand Prairie early in the year. We mowed through our district. We won the North Zone, basically. Went to play Hueco La Vega. It was coached by a very fine coach, someone of contemporary nature as Coach Turner, well-respected. And they came up to our place playing what I would say call by district in a sense. But we played, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we played 12 innings, And Anthony Cepak was the pitcher for Hueco La Vega. And he had 11-5 curveball that he could just wrap around your neck. One of the best controlled curveball pitchers I ever saw. So we went into the last inning, the 12th inning, and we finally beat him there at Richards Park. It was late. It was chilly even in May. And a long ball game, and Owens had pitched the entire game. And McClendon knocked Ricky Dan Moore in for us to win 2-1 and beat Mr. Cepak and on that night. And then we went down to La Vega and won pretty easily the second game since we didn't have Anthony on the plane. And I was fortunate enough to play with Anthony in junior college. He's a great guy. He lives in Granbury, and I still talk to him from time to time. We moved to Mount Pleasant. We played them, and I'd known some of those guys because I'd lived there for 1 year back in the sixth grade. And so it was one of the finest assemblages of athletes you'll ever see in Mount Pleasant. And we were fortunate enough to win over there 2-0 in Mount Pleasant on a Saturday hot afternoon. And then we came back here and beat them. So we were 4-0 basically in the playoffs. And then we met up with South Grand Prairie again.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, it was a tough game in that we played the first game at Richards Park. We didn't start out that well, but in the end, we lost 4-2 to them again. And then we went up to South Grand Prairie. You got to realize the winner of this game goes to state. Yeah. The winner of the series.
Right.
And we were defeated 4-2 there as well. So we came up short. And the 73 season was over with. But we, you know, we had some great guys, our seniors, Larry Cook, Steve Wiley, McClendon, Robinson, Owens, just a real, real fine group, McAdams, of course. And then we had some real fine juniors. And unfortunately, they did not win state that year. But they did beat our 74 team. Coach Turner was coaching, and it was just as good of a battle in the regionals. And then they went down, and I think they won state that year.
They did.
Won the whole thing. So unfortunately, we only lost 3 games that year. I think we were like 21-3, and they were all to South Grand Prairie by the same score, 4-2.
But you lost to a good one, though, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not bad to be one of the top 8 teams in the state of Texas.
It's not. That is absolutely
1973
right.
Team, I'm just going to add a couple of things to what Steve had said, and I know the time element is getting to us, but he talked about leadership, and that leadership came from that senior group of players. And the positive part of that that carried on each and every year, and it was a joy to be associated with young men that have become men and doing the right things now as adults and carrying on a tradition as fathers and as good workers and loyal people. So it is a plus. You know, talking about Saturday, the alumni game, you've got to give a lot of credit to the RBI club, their board,
yes,
the members for getting all of this together for so many years. And I cannot tell you how special a day that is for all of those that have been associated with the baseball program. And I'm not talking just about players. There are parents. There are people that have supported, community people,
mm-hmm,
that have supported this program from day one. They continue to support it. And it is a special day, a day that honors this year a 1973 team that established and added to the tradition of baseball in Waxahachie. And I'm very proud of this group. And I want to add one other thing. You talk about an earned run average of that team. You talk about timely hitting. You talk about outstanding defense. This team gave up less than one earned run a game during that stint. So outstanding players, outstanding young men, and, you know, sometimes they have to put up with a lot from a coach. They always pushed and welcomed being pushed. And I can tell you that Steve and that senior leadership were part of the coaches of that team that helped make sure that a tradition was kept and added to in that program. And I'm very thankful to those three captains and the seniors on that ball club and all of those that played in 1973. It was an honor to be a part of that, and special time will occur on Saturday. Game time against Ennis is at 1 o'clock, but there are a couple of other things that come up before that, just to let you know that the alumni will be taking batting practice at Richards Park at 10:30. Those that are strong enough to swing the bat, there will be an 11:45 a.m. alumni chalk talk. Don't know what's going to occur there. And then the 12:45, there will be the introduction of the 1973 players. And it will be a special day. We hope the weather will hold. But again, thanks to the RBI Club, their board, and their members for all they do to make it possible. And I want to thank Steve and a couple of other players and his parents, because they put a lot of effort in making sure that the members of this 1973 team have been contacted. And there will be a very good showing on that day of the 24 that were a part of that team.
Well, that's awesome. I was about to ask, and thank you for stepping in and taking all that and filling everyone in on it. But, yeah, it sounds like a fun time. Can we I guess we can assume there'll be good hot dogs in the concession stand as well, right? Nachos and all of that. That's what I go for.
Well, I've never found one to be a bad one that I've gotten from there. I'll just put it that way.
Good deal. Well, Coach Turner, Mr. Harriman, we appreciate y'all being on tonight and filling us in on the – this monumentous and, you know, and memorial of baseball days of the past, you know, 50 years ago and all of that. It is amazing how time flies, but appreciate y'all joining us. And we can't wait for Saturday to see how this thing turns out against Ennis and, you know, with today's Indians, that is. But thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for the invitation.
No, always. Yeah. You're always welcome.
Thanks for allowing us to participate.
Yes, you sir. Bet.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. All righty. So that is the old left-hander Mike Turner, Mr. Steve Harriman of the Mike Turner being the coach of the 1973 team, Steve Harriman being one of the captains of the team. And Saturday at Richards Park will be the alumni game, where they will be celebrated on their 50th anniversary. So definitely make your way out to the Paul Richards Park for that. And quickly, let's go to a break. And when we get back, who knows, we may even have some more people to talk to tonight.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Do you love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-344-2066. 800-344-2066. 800-344-2066. That's 800-344-2066. Paid for by NPS.
1390 AM and 99.1 FM. KBEC. Classic Texas music.
And now, back to the press box on KBEC.
Alrighty, and we are back here at the press box. Chad Hicks alongside Adam Olson under the exquisite production of Mr. Yo-Yo Dave Van Zandt. And we are quickly coming upon the top of the hour here, but I think we have one more guest. Our hotline is lit up here. So, Adam, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you take this intro, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so we got Mr. Coach Joshua Johnson, a man that wears many hats. Coach, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thanks for joining us, Coach. Hey, so you have the
Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. You have the unique title of being a principal, an athletic director, a head football coach. You're a husband. You're a father. You probably paint the walls, do the laundry. Like what title do you not have?
Right. You know, I don't know if it's jack of all trades, but custodian, maintenance guy, head basketball coach, whatever you name it, whatever my head of school tells me to do, I got to be ready to go.
Are you licensed to drive the bus?
I do have a CDL. Yes, sir.
you are ultimately employable anywhere, sir.
Yeah. That's one thing I love about, you know, the smaller school systems or school districts or schools, whatever the case may be, is all the different hats that people wear and that sort of thing. Chad Hicks here, you know, I sit in with Adam every Monday night here for the press box, but I'm curious, when you took the job, did you realize that it would entail all of that, or has it just kind of organically happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've been at this for about 16 years, mainly at the private school level, been on the UIL side as well, and mainly all at small schools, 2A level, 1A level, and so it's part of the gig. So yeah, I knew what I was getting into when I accepted this position at OCS.
Coach, this is a family affair too, because if I'm not mistaken, your wife is also a teacher and coach there.
Yes, she's a math coordinator here at the school. Teaches math classes, and then she's our head volleyball coach, and then she's the head track coach for our high school boys and girls.
All right, so let's start in the present and work our way back, because we got to give love to the OCS sports. Talk to me about, I saw that you guys ran at the Texas Relays, is that correct?
Yes, we ran our 4x1 guys got in, and she had put a few other groups, try to get the 4x2 in, they didn't make it. They actually just quit PR this last week, and try to get in a few individual 100 and 200, but we didn't make it. But we got in for the 4x1, and I think they ended up finishing up 28th out of 55 there at Texas Relays.
Well, that's big time.
That is big time. That's a big stage. Yeah. There's a lot of people in those bleachers.
Love
for
it.
Sure.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
Then, okay, so then I saw on Texas Mile Split, I believe, they interviewed one of your student-athletes, Parker Navarro.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Parker's a senior. He's kind of been leading that thing for us the last few years.
Okay. And then what's Parker going to be able to do? Is he going to be a student-athlete beyond OCS?
Parker has some opportunities. You know, I think right now he's just going to – it looks like he may just be going to be a student at the University of Texas. But okay. He has some opportunities, small D2 level. Mm-hmm. To go run, and some of that was of recent. Mm-hmm. So I know there's been a little bit of conversation there, but you know, he told me he told me last week he wants to just focus on just being a student athlete here in high school and finishing out strong with baseball, track, and that he's just ready to go be a full-time student, you know, at the college level.
Got you. Let's transition to baseball. 14-3 baseball?
Yeah, 14-3, 8-0 in district. We've got a big one tonight. We play Dallas First Baptist here about 7 o'clock, and then at our place, and then we go to them Thursday of this week and play at their place. So it's usually us and FBA there at the top of the district fighting it out.
Okay.
Coach, how does it work in that particular league or that I'm not even sure what you call it, but I mean it's private school, right? So do y'all have the ability to recruit or to offer scholarship or anything of that nature to athletes that want to come to Ovilla Christian?
No, we're large 2A in TAP, so the cutoff is it's 70 to 99 students in high school, grades 9 through 12, and we're large 2A. We're right about 98. We can't offer scholarships. Students, families, that there could be some hardship cases that could apply for financial aid. But they have to apply to the school. And, you know, if they have to take a test, if they pass the test, they get through that part of the admissions process. And then, you know, they meet with the secondary principal, which is myself, if it's grade 6 through 12. And we do a family interview. We want to make sure that they're heavily involved in church, they have membership somewhere. We just check out, we cross T's and dot I's, make sure that there are no discipline issues coming from the previous school. So we connect with principals, at whatever school that may be, if they're coming from. And so that's kind of our process. It can be a lengthy process, but it's really kind of word of mouth. A lot of our kids that come to us, they might have played select sports with somebody, or they might go to church with somebody. They tell them about our school, and they're like, you know, if it doesn't work for you at whatever school you're going, why not give OCS a try, give it a shot? So, but yeah, we don't offer scholarships or anything like that. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this test that you mentioned, is that for academic standing and to understand?
Yeah, it's for academic standing. So it gives us an idea, you know, where they would kind of fit in, you know, because we're not set up. I mean, there are private schools that are set up, you know, that can, you know, accommodate students with learning disabilities and things like that. June the Shelton, Dallas Fairhill, Fort Worth Hill School, just to name a few. And so it just kind of seems like academically, can they really fit here? Like, is it a good fit? Because we don't want students to come in here that just can't,
sure,
can't cut it academically, because it just would be a lose-lose for everybody.
Right.
And frustrating on my end as an AD, and my coach is like, God, I just can't keep them on the field, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I doing this show, I mean, we follow all the sports all the schools, all of the sports of all of the schools in Ellis County and that sort of thing. And unfortunately, we can't get to every single school with every single sport every single week, you know, in a 1 hour per week show and all of that. But I've known kids that have gone to OCS. I've known kids that have heard of others that have gone there. I've seen the results of your some of your sports, your baseball team and that sort of thing, and the high highly ranked finishes and all of that. And I've just always wondered if there was a way that, you know, if indeed y'all could recruit or encourage a kid to go there that, like you say, they might be struggling somewhere else. But thank you for clearing that up, you know.
Yeah.
We do appreciate it.
Coach, I hate that we're crunched for time, but I'd be remiss if I didn't talk to you about this. So your wife is the head volleyball coach. State champs this past fall in volleyball?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's got some. I saw the pictures of the ring, and then basketball. Both basketball teams district champs this past winter.
No, this year the girls were district champs.
Okay.
The girls made it to the regional game.
Okay.
And then the boys, man, our district was like the Big
Tough.
12 of basketball,
yeah.
Seriously. We're in a five-way tie for first place after round one, and only four go to the playoffs.
Okay.
Our boys ended up getting in, and we ended up being bi-district champs.
Okay.
Won our first playoff game on the boys' side in 4 years. So we've been to playoffs, you know, every year. But yeah, we finally got that monkey off our back, and so then we lost in the area round to Abilene Christian, who went to the state tournament.
Love seeing that success,
yeah,
man.
No doubt.
That's awesome, Coach.
No doubt. Well, Coach, as Adam kind of alluded, we are crunched for time, but we so appreciate you being on with us tonight. And please come back some other time, and we'll extend this conversation and learn more about Ovilla Christian and all of the great stuff that y'all are doing there. We do thank you for being on.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Coach.
That is Coach, Principal, AD, Custodian, Bus Driver, Joshua Johnson. A man of many hats. And regretfully, it's already 7 p.m., so I think that means it's time for supper. But on behalf of Adam Olson, exquisite production of Mr. Yo-Yo Dave, our in-studio guest, the old left-hander, Mr. Mike Turner, Coach Mike Turner.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here on our hotlines. As I mentioned, Coach Joshua Johnson and Steve Harriman. We appreciate our guest. Tune right back in here next Monday night, 6 p.m. for the Press Box. We'll be here. We hope you will be, too. See you then. Tell them good night, Yo-Yo.
Good night, Yo-Yo.
Listening to the Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for the Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.